Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell other people about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program. I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Investing in the community takes many forms, but what does it really mean? So often it's associated with simply putting money into something. Invest in the stock market or invest capital in a new business. But there are other kinds of investments taking place all the time. Those involve other resources like time, energy, commitment, loyalty, and emotion. On today's show, we look at two distinct efforts to invest in Northumberland. In one case, it will be a traditional type of investment with a bit of a twist. In the other case, we will look at what impact some local women are having by investing in various community groups in need of support. So let's get started. Getting a loan to start a small business is never easy. Traditional places like banks and venture capitalists can be difficult, if not intimidating, to boot. Finding unique and creative ways to match investors and small business people is a challenge. In an effort to pave a new path for Northumberland entrepreneurs and small business to access needed capital, the Business and Entrepreneurial Center of Northumberland, an initiative of the county, and has partnered with an online matching service to bring together investors and business people called the Lending Loop. Here to talk about what is taking place is Northumberland County Director of Economic Development, Dan Borwick. Welcome to Consider This, Dan.
Morning, Rob. Thank you.
Some of our listeners may not appreciate what it's like for an entrepreneur or a small business person who's looking for investors. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of this new initiative, could you paint us a picture of the challenges they face?
I can, and certainly this is one of the reasons that we've started the relationship with Lending Loop. Through our business and entrepreneurial or business and entrepreneurship center, we see approximately 100 to 140 clients on an annual basis. We've had great success with those clients, but we also find that in trying to support those clients, access to capital is a serious consideration. A real good example is our current Women's Entrepreneurship Strategy Program. These are individuals who have great business ideas, have been provided a significant amount of support through the supports that we provide at the Entrepreneurship Center, but when it comes to trying to access capital, it's a bit of a challenge. It's often viewed as high risk, or it's often viewed as too small amount to actually be considered a business priority. So it tends to create a bit of frustration, and it also sometimes tends to limit the actual opportunities associated with that with the entrepreneur. Where we've moved to is to try and find ways for entrepreneurs to have an easier and a more rapid method for accessing that capital. I don't want to diminish the value of the banks or the CFTC or the other forms of capital that are available, but where we're headed with this particular partnership is an opportunity to access funding in a relatively rapid format and a user-friendly format.
The banks and other lending institutions, when you go to them, I've heard it said that sometimes they're not always friendly as they should be to small business, and they're very risk-averse in certain cases. What's been your experience with the banking system in trying to help people starting up a small business and accessing bank loans and those kinds of things? Can you describe maybe a bit of the process and some of the hurdles that they have to clear?
Well, in many cases, and this is evident in the supports we try and provide, we try and counsel clients, we try and shape a business plan for the client, we try and prepare the client for their opportunity to discuss their financial need with any lending institution. Because we have a good working relationship with many in the banking community, generally our clients are welcome to that environment, because the loans officer or the manager is aware that they're prepared for the types of questions they need to face, and they come forward with more than just a concept. They come forward with a business plan. But for those who are unprepared, it would be quite a challenge. Oftentimes, access to capital can sometimes be arrived at by simply establishing a line of credit, or if you have an asset, if you're a mortgage holder at a particular bank, it's sometimes easier for small amounts just to be added onto a line of credit, and they'll go from there. For certain entrepreneurs, if you need short-term money for inventory because you're a summer business and you're loading up with an inventory at this point in time, and the prices are better now than trying to buy product in the middle of summer. There's some challenges involved in that, because as security, one would take the inventory, but inventory sometimes is difficult to reacquire should something happen. So there are those inherent challenges that go with it.
Now, before we get into the new initiative, can you talk a bit about the Business and Entrepreneurship Center in Northumberland? Because it's a unique body, and it's different than the CDFC, which is with the Venture 13. So can you just paint us a picture of what that is?
Certainly. I think we pride ourselves as probably having one of the better business and entrepreneurship centers in the province. The official provincial title for those are small business enterprise centers. There are 54 of them in the province. We've had that relationship with the province for an extended period of time, but as a strong supporter of small business in Northumberland, we also invest in programming. We invest in an incredible network of volunteers who provide one-to-one mentoring for our clients at no cost. We have a number of clients at this point in time who have achieved $1 million worth of sales and are ready to go into the next step. And we've developed programming and assistance for those clients, because oftentimes it's that sort of tipping point. You reach a point where I either need to go big, or maybe I go home in many ways, because the old adage is you're going to work as hard for $500 as you are for $5 million. So there are just so many hours in the day, and so our approach is not just to count a client as somebody who we've registered as a business, but to follow through with that client on an ongoing basis to ensure that they receive the supports they require to grow their business. One of our most successful, we take great pride in some of our youth programs. One of our most successful youth was tied to a business operation in the mall. You're locked into a room and you need to discover a way out of the room. She did a tremendous job over the course of 3 years running that business, and we were a strong supporter of that. We have numerous businesses at this point in time who have evolved to a degree that they are hiring people, and you know, of the 104 businesses in 2019 that we supported or started, I think they created in the neighborhood of 140 jobs. So it's a big deal for us, and the thing is, it spreads the risk. It's not like having somebody come in with 50 jobs, and inherently if something happens to that operation and they disappear, you've lost 50 jobs. This is real spreading the risk, and this is real community based.
Now, small businesses, 5 years is an important threshold. How many businesses that start make it to that 5-year threshold and beyond?
I think in our case, with those that we support, our numbers reflect somewhere around 65%. So we're highly successful to that end. The team, Rob Day and Diane Day and Kaylin Copeland, who are responsible for all of the activities at the Entrepreneurship Center, really lend that type of support, where the customer comes first, and the entrepreneur is our customer.
Now, I'd like you to talk about this recent partnership that you entered into between the Business Center and something called the Lending Loop. which was recently announced by the county. Can you tell us about that?
Certainly. One of the current sort of entrepreneur-based innovations is fintech or financial technology. In other words, how to improve access to capital using technology. So I came across an article on Lending Loop in the Globe and Mail in mid-October, and Lending Loop functions as a way for entrepreneurs to go online and acquire a loan from anywhere from $1,000 to $500,000. The decision period for that is usually 48 hours. There are three criteria that Lending Loop uses, their minimum criteria. One has to be in business for 2 years, one has to have sales of $100,000, and one has to have a credit score of 600 or more. A business plan is required. And so as we look at the number of clients that we're putting through, we thought this would be an excellent opportunity to blend an opportunity to say to a client, you know, as if we have a partner who has access to capital, this might be a very straightforward and simple way for you to try and acquire that capital. Lending Loop has lent, I think, in the neighborhood of about $50 million last year alone. I must say the two principals involved, if I combine both their ages, I'm still greater than the two of them combined, but they certainly represent the new wave of rethinking how to acquire funding. The other big reason that this is very, very important to us is that you can also invest in Lending Loop, which means as a member of the community, you can put in a minimum of $25 to Lending Loop to invest, and then direct that money how you want it used for within your own community.
So let's unpack this a bit, because is this really something for somebody who's just coming out of the gate, starting a business? It sounds to me a little bit more like you're a maturing business or an intermediate business.
True. We at the same time, late last fall, announced partnered with the federal government as part of their women entrepreneurship strategy in Northumberland. Is administering a fund that's dedicated to creating 225 women entrepreneurs in Eastern Ontario in five different locations. We see this as sort of laying track for those women entrepreneurs, and so far the relationship with Lending Loop has been such that they may give serious consideration to the Women's Entrepreneurship Strategy members because they're receiving some significant support, and that they are the risk factor for them is lower, and so they may amend how they lend.
But if I was a listener and I was listening to this, this is not, if I have an idea, this may not be necessarily the best path for me to access capital to start my business. However, if I've got a business and it's up and going, and I need an injection of capital to enhance my business or expand it, this sounds like Lending Loop sounds like a good option for me. Is that correct?
It's very much a good option. The other thing it does is it also frames it for potential entrepreneurs, recognizing that you can't just go with a concept. You need to formulate what the business plan is and where you're going to go. For, you know, that we talked, I talked earlier about trying to acquire inventory. Borrowing from Lending Loop is exceptionally good because there's no penalty for buying out the loan at any time. So if you need to purchase inventory, it's easy money to access for 6 months, and then you can make full repayment without penalty.
Now, this system that Lending Loop uses is, I believe, is called peer-to-peer lending.
That's correct.
And how is it different from something like crowdfunding, like I would get at Kickstart, where a similar idea, you know, people donate money to my project, I take that money, and then I use that money as to do my project. Could you explain that?
Certainly. Lending Loop is essentially a banking function. They acquire their lending form. The money they acquire to lend is done through investors investing in Lending Loop. If you if you are an investor in lending loop, you are then investing that money to be lent out. The return that lending loop is suggesting that most investors are gaining by investing in them is around 7%, 6 to 7% return. What it does for us is it allows potentially local investors to take a good look at lending loop and think, you know, I can invest through lending loop, but at the same time I can direct where my money goes in terms of local entrepreneurs, which for us was a simpler solution than trying to create an angel network and all the administrative costs that are associated with that, and also the necessary legal work and framework that's necessary to make one of those a legal entity.
So an angel network, just so that listeners understand, that's a group of investors who tend to come in with high-risk startups and that kind of thing. They put a lot of money in, they get their money back, they don't, but often they get a very high rate of return.
And oftentimes in those types of scenarios, the focus is not about putting one's money in, it's about getting one's money out. And there's a significant amount of administration related to an angel network, and the federal government has invested in angel networks. We had discussions with the Peterborough regional angel network in the thoughts that, you know, we could probably in a partnership arrangement, it could expand their borders and we could bring investors in that fashion. But usually it's a minimum of investment of $20,000 a year, and it's significantly complicated. Lending Loop has gone through all the hoops of ensuring that they are have been verified through the Securities and Exchange Commission. CRA is happy with them.
CRA being
The Canadian Revenue Agency, because, you know, if you or I decided to set up a website and say invest in us and we're going to lend the money to entrepreneurs, we would probably have a visit shortly thereafter by a government official.
No doubt. Now, why is it necessary for the county to be in partnership with this? This is a website. I could find it online. I can read up about it. I can just go in and use it. Why was it necessary then to have this formal relationship?
I think because I think to anyone who is looking to follow an entrepreneurial path, it just enhances the type of supports that we can provide. We have a exceptionally good working relationship with the Business Development Bank and other commercial lenders, but we thought that we could just add this one more aspect to what we do. And also, you know, because innovation currently is somewhat focused around the fintech opportunity, I think we're just keeping up with the demands of the current entrepreneurial group. The site is very slick. If you've got on the site, if you're a lender, the bubbles pop up. There's an immediate call to action that says, "If you need help, I'm on the phone waiting for you to call." It gives you complete anonymity. So it has some interesting aspects to it, but it also provides us with an extra opportunity to suggest that there are ways that we can help support you from a financial perspective without making it part of the taxpayer's responsibility. The MOU that we have with Lending Loop, there's no financial obligation on the part of the county.
So again, why then is it, I'm not 100% clear why it's so necessary to have a memorandum of understanding. Why couldn't you just keep pointing people towards it? What is the benefit to Northumberland County specifically to have this formalized understanding?
I think it's not so much the opportunity to borrow or have another opportunity or another form of borrowing available. It's the other opportunity that suggests that maybe individuals within the community would like to invest in their community and direct some of their funds to the growth of entrepreneurship in the community.
Is there some latent funds out there that you're aware of that people are, is this something that you're hearing about or that there's a need? Or is it something you're imagining that once it's there in front of people that it'll happen?
There's definitely need, because as we deal with our clients, oftentimes our clients come back to us and say, you know, we're not bankable, we're there's no negotiation available, or we're locked in such a way that it doesn't provide us the sort of financial advantage we want. And you know, the creators of Lending Loop are both individuals who are the children of entrepreneurs.
So you are saying, though, that there are people in the community that are interested in investing, and this is now going to facilitate that to take place?
It will.
Okay. Now, what about shady investors or unscrupulous borrowers? People might be listening to this and say, oh, you know, it's online, and we all are a bit suspicious about what goes on online. What about those people?
Interestingly enough, the province has invested, put funds into the Lending Loop structure, and has dedicated, their arrangement there is that 10% of every loan, the province is willing to put 10% of that funding in. And the reports vary. The Globe and Mail article that I read about the provincial investment, I think, was $30 million that they put into Lending Loop. We certainly did our vetting process. As I said, the amount of behind the scenes work to create such an entity is significant.
It's a fascinating opportunity for people to do this kind of work. I'd like to shift gears just a little bit, because I don't get a chance to talk to you all that often. I want to talk a little bit about the local economy. And in fact, there was an announcement in January about the closure of Weston Foods in the Northern Industrial Park, where 180 people lost their jobs. How did you learn about the closure?
We have a working relationship with economic development in Coburg. We're tied closely there. There is always a rumor mill that we sort of keep our finger on the pulse of the situation. We've also done a fair amount of work over the course of the last year in being a very progressive member of the Northumberland Manufacturers Association, and they've been doing an outstanding job of creating a culture and environment where they're supportive of each other, and we've been trying to address some of the issues of labor shortage and related matters. So we're certainly aware of it.
Was there any forewarning?
Generally there is, because for a name brand company like Weston's, decisions are made at annual general meetings. You can sort of get a handle to try and determine where they're planning to invest.
Because I've talked to Coburg, the mayor, I've talked to Mr. Pacini, I've talked to Mr. Lawrence. All of them seem to indicate that they were taken a bit aback, that there really wasn't much smoke before the fire started.
As I said, we maintain multiple relations, so in various areas.
Okay. Since the announcement, has the county taken any action, either through economic development or social services, to assist the workers or to offer any incentive to keep Weston's here?
From an economic development perspective, what we've initiated is we've sort of gone up to our network of site selectors, in particular, because this is a food-ready plant. And our hope would be that, you know, a food-ready plant would be something of interest to site selectors who are constantly trying to match locations with the expanding needs of other food industries. And operationally, the transition of trying to make that transition while it is still a certified food production facility is far easier than having it closed and then having it reopen.
With the closure of Weston's, and then down in Trenton, there was the closure of Saputo. Some of the listeners might be saying, you know, what's going on with our local economy? How would you describe the local economy in the face of these two major closures? Because I know that we don't just see ourselves isolated, that we're part of a regional economic network.
Maybe if we just look at the the food industry to start with. You know, there are probably only half a dozen major players in the food industry. They're all knitted together in one fashion or another. So a great number of decisions that are made are based on determination as to whether that product has any real life left in it, or whether we can shift the product, whether they can shift the production of that particular product to another location and maximize the capital assets they have in that facility. So that's sort of we're at the whim of the corporate investors and corporate boards of directors. I mean, Kraft was probably a good example of that. You know, the Kraft facility was written off the books a year before it was closed. So I think based, however, on the number of inquiries we're currently receiving through our office, with manufacturers looking for 50,000, 100,000 square feet relocation, we are sort of on the radar at this point in time. It's amazing for the discussions and tours that we often initiate that people are quite amazed that we're only an hour away, you know. But we often haven't done a great job of making ourselves known. And you could add to that, one always needs the availability of either, industrially or employment zones or lands that are designated for employment, or empty facilities that need to be refilled.
Well, I wish you the best with this lending loop. If somebody's listening and they're interested in finding out more about it, where can they get information?
Through our Business and Entrepreneurship Center, call our offices, and we're more than willing to.
Where is it located, just for those who don't know?
600 William Street is the location of our offices. County number is 372-3329, and ask for economic development, and it will happen.
Well, that's an exciting program, so I wish you the best of luck.
It is. Thank you very much.
I want to thank Dan Borwick, Director of Economic Development for Northumberland County, for taking time to talk to us today. Next, we're going to hear about the work of a group of women and what they're doing to raise money to invest in community organizations in the county. Please stay tuned to consider this on Northumberland 89.7 FM, your truly local source for news. We'll be right back.